Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
It's been a long day. You glance at the clock as the big hand strikes 10:59 p.m. You stop to pour yourself a drink. No holding back. Only the strong stuff tonight. The crackling fire illuminates the room in a very comfortable looking sofa. You take a closer glance. And what's that? You see three men in bathrobes and slippers. What are you doing here?
All right. Just here for the pod and that.
Yeah, you know, the one you listen to after like that stressful day you've been having.
Yeah, the one with the three idiots talking about, you know, what they've watched, what they're going to watch, probably some other stuff too.
Am I supposed to say something here, am I? Or?
Oh, for fuck's sake. You take a seat, put your feet up, and listen to your favourite podcast. Welcome to 60 Minutes to Midnight. Hello, and welcome back to 60 Minutes to Midnight, the podcast where we, the 3 Minute Men, gather to drink whiskey, discuss TV and film, and life in general. So, if you don't know, the 3 Minute Men consist of myself, Len. I am the host Minute Man. Then there's Gareth, the little Minute Man. Yeah. And this week we also have John, the poorly Minute Man. Mm. John, what's up, mate? Talk to us.
Yeah.
Tell us what's wrong.
Got COVID in it. Got COVID in that.
Jesus Christ.
Not in hospital, but
people are going to think that you're joking, but
yeah.
You actually have
He's
COVID.
Not joking. So if you listen to our Black Widow podcast, you will know that me and John were very excited at the start of that podcast because England were in the final of the Euros. Now, I did say during that podcast, it's going to go one of two ways. We're going to either be really depressed or we're going to be really happy. Mm. Turns out England lost and we're really depressed. But on top of that, compounding that loss, that heartache, John also contracted COVID-19. Mm. Making it arguably one of the worst days of his life. Is that correct, John?
Yeah. COVID 2019. Really annoying. Really annoying. I mean, look, a devastating loss as well. I mean, most of our listeners are, you know, Yanks or Yankee Doodles, as they're referred to somewhere.
Yeah, that's what they call themselves.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Since they beat us in that war. Well, we're Yankee Doodles now. All right, we'll fill your boots. So they won't understand the heartache. But imagine if, like, you had the Super Bowl and then just you got, like, two states, everyone's really excited, and then the Chinese just invaded and stole it. And then you're like, oh, what's going on here? Yeah, that would be what it felt like to lose Euro 2020.
It's like losing a match in the last minute, basically. It's the ultimate heartbreak.
But
then on top of that, John,
it's worse. It's beyond the last
minute. It's worse. It is worse than that, yeah. But we don't want to bore the Yanks, our beloved American listeners, with tales of woe and despair. I just wanted to let them know that John, if he sounds sexier than usual, it's COVID. So maybe there's a benefit to that, you do sound quite sexy,
so
John, I must say.
John does sound good. John is sick, and I am sickened by your use of the English language thus far, Alex. The word myself,
I thought it was pretty good.
The word myself is never a substitute for the word me. So today we have me, not myself. All right.
Yeah.
So we'll get that out of the
myself
way.
Myself sounds better though. So
yes,
don't know why
incorrect.
They did that. I will say, that what we usually do is we say what whiskies we're drinking. But I believe John has been told by his doctor. Yeah, he called her.
Yeah.
And
I said, what are you up to tonight? She was like, look, I'm a doctor, for fuck's sake.
And then he said, can I have some whiskey on the podcast? And she said, definitely not. It's not good for COVID. Mm. So turns out he's not drinking.
Yep.
She also said, don't do a podcast. And despite medical advice, yes. J-Mac has stepped up.
Despite medical advice.
Thanks, mate. We appreciate you.
Thanks, mate. Really appreciate it.
15 minutes in, hamstring goes. Oh, rushed him back too quickly.
Gareth, what are you drinking today, mate?
Check this
what
bad whiskey? Boy out. I know.
Tell me all.
I know listeners can't see this, ooh, but how cool does that look?
Audio medium. Yeah. It does look quite
cool. So I'll describe
Jack
what I'm showing.
Daniels.
It is.
Very good.
Ooh, it sounds very exotic.
I believe it's pronounced Jacques Daniel. It's a red box, a burgundy box with a red dragon on it. It is actually bizarrely
a Welsh
whiskey. Now I'm proud.
Spoiler warning.
Proud of my Welsh heritage, and saw this and thought, do you know what, I'll give it a crack. And I'll tell you what,
Gareth is so proud of his Welsh heritage that he supports Wales in nothing. That's how proud he is of it.
Yes, but if England didn't exist, or South Africa,
right,
then maybe I would cheer for Wales sometimes. But it's all right. It's really good, actually. I I'm a peated whiskey fan. This is not a peated whiskey by any stretch of the imagination, but it has got some lovely, like vanilla-y vibes to it. Very very smooth. I normally drink my whiskey neat, but it goes so well with a little cube of ice, just to bring out some of those vanilla tones. So that's what I'm drinking: some vanilla whiskey. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I've stuck with what I had last time because turns out...
What the fuck?
I got in trouble. Got in trouble for spending so much money on a bottle of whiskey when we got a baby on the way. And I was like, you know what? You're kind of right in a way. So I'm going to finish this one off. And it's on the last legs. Yeah? It's the Port Charlotte peated whiskey. It's on its last legs. Okay? So next time, there'll be a brand new one. And don't you ever go at me, John. You're on the OJ. All right?
If you're drinking the same fucking whiskey as before, what sort of a whiskey tasting is that? Right, so this week we're going to be doing what we did last week.
It tasted good. It tasted good, so I'm drinking it again. Okay?
Yeah, that is shit, honestly.
6 weeks to fill the larder, mate. That's, come on, up your game. J-Mac, talk us through your AJ. What's happening there?
Pulp? No pulp.
It is.
Let me know.
No, there's no pulp. It's a smooth.
Ooh, smooth.
It's a very smooth, very peaty orange juice.
Stop saying smooth.
Yeah. Very smooth. Yeah. From the valleys of Canary Wharf. Canary Wharf Waitrose. So,
oh, lovely.
So,
lovely.
Very tropical.
Very nice.
Lovely, lovely area.
I've had it today in a glass as opposed to out of the bottle or in my hands, because I think that's probably a classier way of drinking it.
Yeah.
No ice, because I want to get the full orangey flavour. And you know, next episode maybe I'll combine an orange juice and a whiskey, if I make it to the next episode.
Yeah,
if he makes it, and obviously, if you would like to support John, go to patreon.com/fancritical. All funds will go towards his. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
No, we don't have to pay for our healthcare here.
Your fund, yeah, exactly. Healthcare's free in England, so don't worry about it. Your money definitely doesn't go towards that. all right, boys. All right, boys, here we go. Right, so if you don't know how this show works, it's simple. We're just going to talk about stuff that we've been watching, stuff that we would like to watch, some interesting things we might have come across, talked about in passing with each other in our WhatsApp chats, all that sort of stuff. so I'll kick us off. And I want to talk about something that we mentioned in the last episode. And I know this is something that myself and John have finished.
Me and John.
And Gareth wants to watch.
John and I, in fact.
Yeah, me and John, once again. Yeah, John and I. Yeah, whatever. and that is Loki. And Disney Plus, 6 episodes, which actually surprised me that it was only 6 episodes. John, I want your overall thoughts on Loki as a standalone series.
Yeah, I mean...
Tom Hiddleston.
Well, look, Tom Hiddleston is great, isn't he? Like, it's, I think I mentioned this on the Black Widow podcast that we did, that of all the TV series, this is, in my opinion, at least the best one. It's the one that, I mean, look, I'm not having a go at old Wanda. I think WandaVision is, I could see how some people would love that. I can't see how some people would love Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That to me is like a very average series.
Middle of the road.
I also think every single...
Uninspiring.
I think every single series, without, you know, spoiler warnings, I don't think any of them have stuck the landing. I think the last episode is mm-hmm. one of the worst, if not the worst episode in each of those seasons or series.
That's very interesting, John. I'm very surprised by that comment. I think that, WandaVision, 1,000,000%, I think, by the end of WandaVision, and once we've said no spoilers, I think it becomes very Marvel-y and very over the top with some of the action sequences, and it's very silly. And I'd say that Falcon and Winter Soldier is just underwhelming. Like, it's just such an underwhelming finale where...
Just even the beginning. So, oh, he's got the suit now. What sort of a build-up is that?
I felt that Loki was fascinating. Like, there's a lot of things about the Loki TV show that are definitely going to affect the whole phase four of the MCU. And, you know, it makes things like the Infinity War seem trivial to the point where it feels insignificant. And at the time...
Now, just be careful here. As a representative of the masses who may not have seen this yet, just be wary. You're just drifting.
It's safe to say that there is a shift in the MCU that is definitely happening with these shows. But to me, when you watch Loki in isolation, everything else seems like just nowhere near as big in scope in terms of the effect that it's going to have on the MCU. Tom Hiddleston's fantastic. There are certain characters that get introduced through Loki, the show, who I think will be mainstays for a long time. One especially. We know another one who is in the finale, no spoilers, is definitely around for at least two cinematic movies. And I did not expect to see them in this show. I would say that Loki feels to me, and John, you can try and see if I'm right here. When I watched it, it feels like HBO's version of Doctor Who. That is 100% how it feels to me. It feels like Doctor Who on such an elevated plane. And I love Doctor Who. Like, don't get me wrong. Kitsch BBC science fiction is great. But this is kitsch HBO science fiction, and it's got in terms of scale, like with the level, Disney is like essentially HBO to me in terms of the budget, and it feels like they've just elevated this kitsch science fiction into something that is fun but at the same time has a bit of weight to it, and the effects are great. The sort of storytelling I thought is very is very hard to get your head around, but once you get your head around it, it's very interesting.
So, I mean, just for context here, I would give Loki the series a 4 bloob, probably.
I think that's a good score.
I think that the concept of what's happening in the last episode is maybe more interesting to me than what actually played out. And I'm not necessarily going to dig out a certain actor. But I didn't like him in another TV series, so to see him again, I was like, "Can you go away, please?" Because
I was very, and we can't talk about this because of Gareth
I've seen him in a trailer.
Literally, John, we'll take.
I was like, no.
Well, I don't know if you have seen him.
I think I have.
I don't think you have, Gareth. I don't know if you're talking about the same
somebody from Westworld.
No. Incorrect. Oh, okay. So that's how I know that you haven't seen this guy. All right. So this is the thing. I really want to talk to you about that because. It's chomping at the bit, as we say, to do that, but we can't hear. So we're going to, that's off, but that's definitely out of bounds. Okay. But in terms of Loki, the actual character himself, like what I would say is we have Loki a Loki that is a lot younger, sort of inexperienced than the one that we see. And this is a spoiler warning for Marvel's, you know, the one we see towards the end of the Marvel timeline with Infinity War, right? This is one from just after the Battle of New York. So he hasn't had all of that sort of journey with Thor and, you know, actually turning into a good character, maybe a good character, okay?
Mm.
So this show has a lot to do to turn that Loki into a Loki that is, you know, sort of the one that we know and the one that we know he can be. And I think his journey during this show, I thought, oh, this is going to be boring because we're going to see the same sort of journey. But I think it's fascinating, especially the way they handle some of the situations and the idea that, you know, we get all these crazy scenarios that happen in these six episodes. I think it's a triumphant show. I actually was thrilled when they announced the season two. And as I said, I won't spoil anything, but the finale is crazy. I watched the finale and I'm just like, how can anything that I watch after this mean anything? That's how big it is to me.
That's dangerous scale. Though, as well.
I'm like, how are you going to... It is dangerous. It is dangerous.
Mean anything to me. Yeah.
No, but I mean in the Marvel world, and John knows what I mean by that, because it does something where you're just like, what the fuck are they going to do next? And I'm thinking about the things they've got coming out. I'm thinking about like Spider-Man No Way Home, and I'm thinking about maybe Doctor Strange plays into this very well.
Does it make it all redundant?
Well, I tell you what, some of the stuff you see in Loki does make some of the stuff you've seen in the previous 23 movies feel very redundant, but it's that idea of what is reality to you? And yep. I think that is what they're going to try and hammer home in the end. But as I said, no spoilers. General score from me is also a 4. Loved it. And I binged it all in like 2 days. I waited for all the episodes to come out and then I was like, right, I'm just going to binge this.
Well, yeah. I'll update you with my score on the next episode of 60 Minutes. On that topic, actually, Len, this is more for you here. But when you're talking about that, when shows make a decision that kind of it's too big or it's too significant and it makes it really difficult to follow on from that, are you getting that feeling a little bit with Rick and Morty?
But here's the thing about Rick and Morty, right? I think the show is scope and scale is obviously crazy because it's multiverse again. This is the same situation as Loki. It's multiverse. It's all of time. It's time travel. It's everything. And kind of with Rick and Morty, you kind of put all of the bells and whistles that go on around it at just get rid of that out of your head and just think about the characters, because there's a lot of great character moments in there. And I think that's what they do really well, because there's all this crazy, crazy conceptual narrative storylines going on around you that mimic some of your favorite science fiction of all time, and then take it in their own interesting way. But you can just literally discard that and it boils down to like Rick, it boils down to Morty, Summer, totally. Beth, Jerry, Mr. Poopy Butthole, etc. So, you know,
yeah.
I think Rick and Morty, I will say the start of season five? Is it season five?
Yeah.
The start of season five, the first two episodes are five Bloom episodes. I think they're genius. Episodes 3 and 4, I'm worried. I'm a little bit worried because they sag bad.
Well,
they sag
so
badly.
I wonder, and like, look, this is something for you to go away and think about, because maybe this isn't the case.
Is this me or the audience?
This is,
you telling me
this
or the
you,
audience to
you,
go away and think about
you,
this?
You, go away and think about this. I wonder, because I think that maybe episodes 3 and 4 are slightly more kind of down the line episodes in a way. Now, without wanting to say anything, because again, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but there are some...
I don't think it matters if you spoil Rick and Morty.
No, I don't think so. But one of the major things I've loved over the first three, four seasons is the growth of Morty as a character. Like he's turned into a brilliant character. And there are things that happen in Rick and Morty that sort of at this point, I'm like, is this even the character that has had that growth? You know what I mean?
I feel like he's grown to the point where he's so assertive now.
Yeah.
From this weak, pathetic kid that he was. And he was pathetic. Like, you watch season one, episode one, and he's grown into this character who now is the dominating character in that relationship with Rick.
But
not to say that's a spoiler.
He's died about 100 times,
is
hasn't
it
he?
Go on. Is it our Morty? Is it our Morty? That's my point.
Like, is it our Morty? Exactly right. I mean, and this is the thing. You know, there is an evil Morty out there. We know about evil Morty. Anyone listen to this who watches Rick and Morty, you know evil Morty's out there. Mm. When is that storyline coming back? It's coming back at some point. I love that whole thing. And I love the idea, and they nailed it in season one, where they had the episode, which is the Cronenberg episode, where Rick and Morty accidentally turned the whole planet into
Cronenberg monsters.
Grasshopper Cronenberg monsters or whatever, because they're all obsessed with Morty's love potion, which goes horribly wrong. And then their solution is to completely move and go to another identical Earth in a different parallel universe where they could just slip in, where the Rick and Morty literally just die as they get there. And Morty's burying himself in the back garden, and you've got this surrealist music going on, and he's just questioning the nature of reality. And it goes back, this is like Loki again, this is the whole thing. And it's that moment that made me love the show, because it's just like, what is real to them? Like, and it's deep. Like Rick and Morty, as much as you say anything about, you know, it's stupid, and it is at times the most stupid show ever, you know. Mr. Nimbus in season 5, episode 1 is honestly,
he's amazing. It's
absolutely insane. I'm Mr. Nimbus. Yeah. It's ridiculous, right? But the whole thing is just layered with so much emotion and thought that I love it. I'm a bit worried about the rest of the season, but look, they nail, it's not a show where you go at it and go, oh, was this a great season? You look at Rick and Morty and go, they're great episodes.
Wow.
They're such self-contained stories at times. But yeah, man, if anyone hasn't watched Rick and Morty, go and do that right now. It's the best animation you'll ever see.
Definitely do.
Right, well, you heard it here first.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, last word on Loki, without spoilers, bloody lovely to have Tony Stark back, because obviously you think he's dead.
And then they go, what are you doing here? That's the end of Loki.
I can't believe it. I was like, that's brilliant, that.
Yeah.
And then Superman's in it as well. I'm like, fucking hell, it's not even a part of this universe. So good.
Yeah, and it was, brilliant. Yeah, so good. Very good.
All right. Thanos is sitting there, he's clapping away. Why is he clapping?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I will say this. I did think, would we see Thanos? Maybe you do. I'm just keeping.
Oh
it
my
open
god! Right, stop talking about it now.
Ruin that.
Let's move on, shall we? So,
actually, before we do move on, I won't mention. I won't mention Loki again. But I'm keen to, because I think I know Len's opinion. I just want to get yours, Gaz. So, obviously, there's this big thing in Britain where, you know, you get hounded. You have to hide in the sewers if you're a British person that doesn't like Harry Potter. And I'm obviously one of those.
Yeah.
I say I've got COVID knocking
about. I'm also one of those.
Yeah.
I don't like Harry Potter that much, John. I think it's average at best. Yeah,
correct. So there's also a subset of people that have to hide even lower in the depths of those sewers. British people that don't like Doctor Who. I think it is the shittest program, like, ever conceived. I genuinely think it's terrible.
That's mad. It's not,
I think,
mate.
It's terrible. I think this fuss about, oh, we've got this new doctor and this, honestly, I think it's so shit. I think it's a farce that it's as big as it is.
Can I tell you though, being an Englishman that lives in another country, it's bizarre. Like, it is just presumed that you know everything about Doctor Who. I probably don't share your hatred of it, John, but I know nothing about it. Like, I used to watch.
Oh, wow.
I watched a few episodes of like the David Tennant one, and I liked him. And
great,
the
great time.
Chris Eccleston, maybe before that, I watched a few.
That was okay.
That's it. Doctor Who does not push my buttons. Harry Potter.
He was a great
Harry
doctor.
Harry Potter does push my buttons. I'm a big Potter fan.
Okay. I just want to say, I had this vision now of like a really funny sketch where John is actually the doctor's assistant. Because there's always this big thing about who is the next Doctor Who? There's always this big reveal, and then, like John said, he never
cares.
That's
why they call it that.
They always have an assistant, and a lot of the time, the main storyline actually revolves around the assistant,
Billy Piper,
because, like, you know, Doctor Who is kind of this eternal character, but the assistant is always like a mortal human character who has different relationships and connections and has a tough time dealing with the concepts that are going on around them. So the idea of John just being this reluctant assistant, do we have to? Like, just fucking going off to different planets. Yeah. We know it's bigger inside. Fuck it, shut up. Like, just stuff like that. I'm just like, I can't get that out of my head.
That works.
So
that's good.
That would be the best show
just
ever.
Just burying my dead self.
Imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Burying your dead self.
Imagine him going to Hogwarts.
How did he die? COVID. What?
Imagine putting on the sorting hat, and the sorting hat's like, and what house shall you be? And John's like, just fucking get on with it. Fuck me.
Slytherin.
Fucking Slytherin.
It's weird though, isn't it? Why would you put it on your head as well? They actually have to wear a thing that talks. That's out. Surely just like start chewing your hair or something. It'd be weird.
Speaking of things that you wear that talk, I'm going to bring something slightly unusual to the table this time.
Talking dildo.
No, rather than a...
Who are you?
Insert me.
Look, it's purple.
Why has he got that voice?
Sorry.
Surely it would be like a... Hey. You know what I mean?
Sexy.
Yeah.
It'd be John, it could be your voice with COVID. We could record you.
A COVID dildo. Jesus Christ.
There's no... they haven't proven that COVID doesn't travel... like via airwaves,
dildos.
Have they?
Haven't seen that.
Dildo.
It wouldn't
dildo.
Be COVID dildo. It'd be COVID dildo. That would be COVID dildo.
COVID dildo.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be a dill? Wouldn't it be dill? Dill COVID.
Fucking hell! Cut in there, surely.
Dill COVID.
Jesus Christ!
This stays.
Fuck yeah! This stays. This stays. You have to listen to this.
Punishment.
COVID dildo sounds like he could be a signing this summer in the transfer window.
Arsenal signed COVID dildo from Athletic
65
Bilbao.
Million. He's 17. How have we paid that for him?
Yeah, and he's a goalkeeper. This is nuts. I've been watching a particular YouTuber that I think some of our listeners would be interested in. So I thought I'd share my thoughts.
PewDiePie. Have you heard of him?
Yeah. Just in the breakout stars. Now, I mean, look, this guy's got quite the following already. But
How many?
Seven.
Tell us some facts.
Between 7 and 9, I'm sure of it. He's a lovely sounding Irish fella. He's got dulcet tones. His name or his YouTube name, presumably not his birth name, is Eyepatch Wolf. Eyepatch Wolf.
That's pretty cool.
It's quite good. He's got a good little logo that's like a wolf with an eye patch. Anyway.
Is he 13 or?
But no, he's very good. He talks. One of the things that I've been watching is this stuff about horror. Like I think predominantly he's into his like anime and manga and stuff, and he talks a lot about that. So if any of our listeners, I know some of them are into anime, definitely check him out. He's like an expert on that. But he also delves into a few other bits. Like, Len, you'd love it. He talks about video games quite a lot. I know. He really is. He's not happy about this guy. But he talks about video games a lot. He talks a lot about horror and like what makes actual horror actually scary. You know, rather than jump scares. He talks about he breaks down like amazing horror movies and incredible horror scenes. Like think like The Shining, with the twins. Like he breaks down what exactly makes that such a disturbing scene. And I love it because he gets...
Twins in general.
Oh, yeah, twins are terrifying.
They're weird.
But he gets it. Like, he totally expresses exactly what it is that horror should be. And it so often isn't. And it's such a letdown. The horror genre is such a letdown. Because I can't stand jump scares. I can't stand them. And...
Well... They have a place. They do have a place. I do think that they're overused in a lot of what I call, this is what you got annoyed at me for the other day, mainstream horror or whatever I called it. Yeah. And you were like, John cracked himself up. Like, what did I call it?
We
like,
both cracked up.
You know, my main, yeah, basically those sorts of films do thrive off jump scares.
Oh, a mass.
Yeah, it's
a
like
mass
a mainline horror. Mass public horror.
Mass public horror. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, okay, yeah, name more than two.
Yeah. So those sorts of films, you're thinking like, here's an example, The Conjuring.
Yeah.
Perfect example of a mass public horror where people who think, oh, I like horror films, go along and watch a horror film and it's like a 12A and there's like occasionally a scare and maybe one person might die in the film.
Yeah.
That's a mass public horror that thrives off of these terrible jump
Lazy
scares.
Lazy jump scares.
The sort of horror that... Yeah, the sort of horror that's smelly, more conceptual and, yeah, yeah, that's 4D. That's crazy stuff. You should check it out. But the kind of horror that's, really psycho.
Yeah.
What's that word where it fucks your psyche up?
Psychological.
Whatever that word is.
Psychological.
Psychological, thank you.
Psycho.
Is
you know
is
when it does the
psycho.
Does the psycho in your, in the thing on top of your head.
Yeah. On the head, when again in the head.
Dun, dun, dun. But no, like, no, I agree. Like, stuff that's quite Lovecraftian or, like, makes me question reality. Going back to Loki again, Gaz, the reason I think you'd enjoy that show is because it actually leans into some very Lovecraftian themes, especially towards the end of the season, in more ways than one, as John will, it definitely leans into Lovecraft. There are things where very cosmic and very bizarre, and you sit there and just go, this is amazing imagery that my brain can't really comprehend. So, yeah, that sort of horror definitely,
but
like,
you know, stuff that's just, that is unsettling, and it's hard to explain why it's unsettling. And, you know, like the uncanny valley, like that line between, is it reality? Is it fake?
Like you, if I was looking at an image of you, but you had, instead of eyes, they were just papered over.
Correct.
You just had your face with papered over eyes and a mouth.
Yeah.
It'd be really weird.
Correct.
That'd be uncanny valley.
That would, spot on. That's a great example.
Actually, that would be terrifying. That would genuinely be terrifying.
Can I tell you one that I experienced in real life yesterday? This was fucking bizarre. Honestly, it made my heart like, right.
We're in lockdown, so I don't know what the fuck Megan's doing in your house, because we're in lockdown at the moment. We can't leave the home.
Well, went for a run, and
unbelievable.
At the very end of the run, there's this like little path, and it ends at a cafe. I was going to go get coffee after my run. Anyway, I'm on this little path, and I got stuck behind a family, so I had to sort of end the run there, and. So
oh my God, they had no eyes.
Well, hold on. It's almost as weird. So I'd just been running, like, I'd gone up a massive hill. I was exhausted, right? And, you know, you're in a little bit of a weird space as you're coming down from the run anyway. This kid, like, obviously heard me behind him, turned around and, like, smiled at me. I was like, okay. And then waved.
Soon to be father, terrified by children. Next. Go on. Yeah.
And his hand was like a little doll's hand. Like, honestly, like a little doll's hand. And then I looked. His other...
What are you talking about?
Right, I don't know. He had like a jumper on. He waved at me with a little doll's hand. And then I looked and his other hand was exactly the same. And... I'm guessing he had just grabbed some little... I mean, this is a bizarre sentence anyway, but like at least there's sort of some rationality to it. He had grabbed like some doll's hands and had them up his sleeve and was pretending that they were his arms. But in that like 2 seconds immediately after he waved at me, I was like, what the fuck is happening? It was fucking bizarre. That is Uncanny Valley. And that is what Eyepatch Wolf gets. He understands that that's horror. The other thing I was going to say that he does, that he's a massive Simpsons fan, but like OG Simpsons.
Oh, that's
Simpsons.
Good.
First
Halloween specials. He loves those. Well,
yeah, I'm sure he does. But he does. He's got a brilliant video on the downfall of the Simpsons and why exactly it went, how it went wrong.
Oh, yeah, you did say this. Yeah,
I spoke to you about that the other day, yeah.
I might have seen that, actually.
He puts it at season 8, which I'm surprised at.
Which is the best season.
It's got some great episodes. But he says, from season 13, we get to zombified Simpsons. Anyway, Eyepatch Wolf, check him out. If you are interested in horror or anime or video games or The Simpsons, he just does some great videos. And he's got a lovely voice. Not as nice as ours, but lovely.
Especially John's at the moment.
Mm. Yeah.
Very good. Yep. Very good. John, what you been watching, son? Talk to me. Other than Loki. You've been bedridden.
No, I haven't, actually. You know, I've had at least one vaccination. So, yeah, I'm not...
Get vaccinated.
He's had one dose.
Get
had one, 1 day off work. Only had 1 day off work, so...
Well done, son. Yeah.
But you're taking tomorrow
I work as a doctor. So irresponsible. What are you doing, man?
imagine that. He's definitely not a doctor. So anyone who thinks that John is a doctor,
I'm not legally registered as a doctor.
Not anymore.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Dr. McCann.
It's nice that you struggled to remember my surname. Cheers. Fucking
hell. Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say Dr. John, and then I was gonna say that's not as
doesn't
help
to John.
Right. Anyway.
Okay.
That tracks better because it's Dr. Nick.
Yeah, correct. That's what you should have gone with.
Hi, everybody. Now I'll just open up Netflix to have a look to see what I've been watching.
Oh, God.
Right, so there was one thing I watched the other day, or at least...
It's obviously memorable.
Yeah. No, because I've been watching loads of stuff because I'm sick, aren't I? So I'm just sitting there feeling sorry for myself, going, right, let me watch a gruesome murder of someone to make myself feel a little bit better. And on that subject... I actually a while ago I started watching that Challenger documentary on Netflix about the Challenger shuttle disaster. But I realized I'd never watched the last episode, so I watched that the other day. Like, fucking hell, what a great documentary that is. And actually, it made me so fucking cynical about the world at the moment. There are people pissing and moaning. I'm not gonna call them out on here. But you know, if you know
what's
who I am, you know me. There's certain things that like people make a big fucking deal out of where I'm like, does that matter really? Come on. But I'm not gonna call it out on here because I don't want to offend anyone. But you know. Anyway, so
you'd offend a lot of people if you did say
probably
the words,
probably everyone. But the point I'm making is, it's like the world should be live and let live. Like, you go back to this shuttle disaster, and like how even like Apollo 13 and all that, like how aspirational and motivational and amazing we can be as human beings, and. And that shuttle disaster, that documentary is fucking heartbreaking. It's like so heartbreaking. You know, you've got the fact that it was like so avoidable as well. I mean, it's fascinating to a lot of the time with these Netflix documentaries, you'll get a very one-sided view. I mean, they even had the guy that pretty much was the one that made the call to launch the shuttle, even though he'd been told that there was a likelihood that the shuttle was going to explode.
Oh, fuck.
And he's on it. He's on the documentary and he owns it. Yeah, he owns it. He's like, with all the information I had at the time, I would still make the same decision. And he's like, he looks fairly cold and he's very old as well. I think the older you get, I think the more you're just like, oh, who cares? I'm 85 now.
Yeah, but wasn't one of them, one of the passengers, like a teacher?
Teacher.
She was just sort of regular teacher who got shortlisted.
I need to watch it. I love this sort of stuff because I love
it's another
space exploration, aspirational sort of stuff about like going out into the stars is something that I read about actively. I should watch this documentary.
It's another
genuinely space travel.
This sort of stuff.
Yeah. It's another documentary that's like captured in time, like what the world was like back then. Dave Chappelle, of all people, talks about a world prior to the internet and all that, where there are certain things that happen in your lifetime, in your generation, that go from like you're a kid to now this is the real world. And he talks about being one of those kids in class sitting there watching, because they screened it for all the kids in the US because obviously there was a teacher on the flight.
Yeah.
It was like a big thing.
Yeah.
And obviously live on TV, everyone's just watched this spaceship just explode.
Fuck me.
And he talks about that being like the kind of September 11th sort of thing. Like I remember being kind of at the end of secondary school, or the start of college, should I say, and that happening. And like my history teacher, like looking for me, going, have you seen like what's going on in the US? And I remember that night, and I remember kind of looking back and thinking, fucking hell, like this is like, this will stick with you forever. And that's what the Challenger thing is like. I would highly recommend it. It does end on a high. Like, it does talk about, and then there's another disaster, and it's like, right, okay, we have to nip this in the bud. Spoiler warning. but I would absolutely recommend watching it. It's amazing. And I know every time we do these,
100,
I'm constantly banging on about depressing documentaries on Netflix. But it was either me talking about that or the Epstein documentary, which I also watched, which is honestly.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's an okay documentary, but... Yeah, obviously he's a terrible person, but like I actually think the documentary itself is quite derivative. I think it essentially just repeats some of the same stuff over and over and over again to the point, and there's no...
I think that's the point though, isn't it?
No, it is, but there's nothing... It's not done in a creative way either. I think it's done in a very, hey, this is your staple high-level documentary.
You know why,
by numbers.
But the space one, I want to check it out.
You know why, though? There's like so much that is yet to come out. Like this is just, the Epstein is just like the tip of the iceberg. You've obviously got
I agree,
fucking Maxwell, Ghislaine, you know, she's still
Ghislaine
still sitting there waiting for something to happen. That'll be season two. I watched another documentary actually, and this one was a little bit better. It was called Dream Killer. Have you seen that?
No, this sounds interesting.
So this was so it's basically the story of a father that spends like something like 10 years or something trying to exonerate his son who's gone to prison for murder, even though there's no DNA evidence and there's one eyewitness that names him as one of the people that's there, and the eyewitness is a paedophile. So it's like... How is this guy going to prison?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it says more about the judicial system, though, but, you know, it's a different
podcast the highlight of this documentary, and again, this isn't a spoiler warning, halfway through, you're kind of feeling a bit depressed at where this is going. You've got this dad whose life is ruined. He split up with his wife because of the turmoil of their son going to prison for 40 years. The dad gets to do a speech in court on the day that his son's about to get his sentence. And you could see him like welling up, and he's the lawyer that basically he hired has a stinker, a fucking stinker. Like if you saw it in a film, you'd be like, this is bullshit. So the lawyer, he brings in like this massive like poster that details the area where the scene of the crime, blah, blah, blah. And it's basically out of date, and he's labelled all the things wrong. So halfway through the trial, The prosecutor's like, yeah, he's like, well, that's wrong. That's an old, like, the restaurant should be there. It's not, it doesn't even exist on this map. And the defense guy's just standing there going,
oh, oh no. And then he stands up and he's got no trousers on. He's got no trousers on. He's like, oh,
honestly, he's like the fucking chicken out of Futurama. Like, just shocking behavior. Yeah. But anyway, halfway through the documentary, a familiar face pops up. Old Zellner, Superwoman lawyer from Making a Murderer Season 2.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's in this. Yeah. So it's, given that you guys are about to become fathers, you know, this will stick with you, believe me, because it's just like, yeah, it's so good. I massively recommend it. That and Challenger.
Lovely stuff, John. Lovely stuff. I've just got a couple of recommendations before we move on to what we're looking forward to watching. And just to say, if you are in need of some Marvel content to watch, Marvel's MODOK on Hulu for you Americans. It's on Disney Plus for everyone else, I think. At least it is here in Australia. Not sure about the UK. Hilarious. Brilliant. What a show. Honestly, I'd almost give it 5 blueberries. It's so close. It's going to get a 4. But it is brilliant.
Close to 5.
Yeah. Gaz watched the first episode with me and you enjoyed it. I think the first episode is the weakest episode of the season and it's still very funny. So
I've watched a couple since then. You'll be proud to know.
You enjoying it?
Yeah, it's very good. Very good.
It's funny, isn't it? And the animation style, I think, is excellent. Like, it's sort of stop animation meets modeling, model animation and stuff like that. It's very interesting. And then another show, which I just wanted to say, I finished actually ages ago, and I can't believe we haven't talked about it, is a show on Amazon Prime called Invincible, which is based on the Robert Kirkman comic, Robert Kirkman of Walking Dead fame. It's an animation. And it's about superheroes. Mm. Oh my God, it is amazing. It is incredible. Honestly, it's just the season finale of that show. Wow, I can't even, I can't believe I didn't talk to anyone about the show, but Invincible, it's basically a kid gets powers in a world where superheroes are, there's loads of them. They have different leagues. Like, you've got essentially a fake Justice League. You've got like you've got all these different tiers of superheroes. Premiership, essentially, yeah, championship.
League One.
And his dad is like the best superhero, called Omni-Man. And he's like Superman. He's indestructible. And that means that this kid is going to be indestructible. And he's got to grow up learning how to be a superhero. At the same time, there's massive twists that happen during this show, and it's just great. I mean, the animation's fantastic. The writing's fantastic. The sort of balance between him being a normal kid and being a superhero and having to hide his identity is amazing. And like I said, if you want something to really sink your teeth into, definitely check out Invincible. John, have you seen that at all?
No, not even heard of it.
Check it out, Amazon Prime. It's great. It's honestly... Oh, it's so hard to sort of talk
five
about
bloops.
It. That's a 5 bloop show. That's a 5 bloop show. Because it really suck its tentacles into me. Yes, go on.
Before we move on to what we're looking forward to, I just remembered something you said, and I probably agree with this, but you said Rick and Morty, best animation ever.
Yeah, and Castlevania.
You also said on the last episode of this show, Castlevania, the best animation ever. Just quickly, just wanted to update. Where I'm up to. I'm halfway through season 3 and fucking good. It is fucking good. I love it. I think,
wait till you get to the 4th season and the final season. Jesus, man. Jesus.
It's a lot funnier than you realize initially. His name is just Trevor again. In the last episode, you started going on about Trevor.
Trevor.
I was like, Trevor. Why? And I thought, I've only seen an episode of this, so I can't say anything. Trefor is like, what? Where have you got that from, mate?
Don't know. But I'm right, so that's all that matters.
His name's Trevor Belmont, and he's such a good character, such a great like anti-hero. Love him. Very good show, very good recommendation.
Glad you enjoyed it. Bloody finish it so we can talk about the ending, because, man, I love it. Right, when we come back, we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to. All right, boys, we have a review podcast coming out in the next few weeks. And today we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to watching, which is James Gunn's Suicide Squad. Now, a bit of context. James Gunn, you might be saying, who's that? Did you like Guardians of the Galaxy? Yeah?
Yes.
He's the guy behind that. Yeah? Ooh. Chris Pratt. No, James Gunn. Anyway. What happened was and this is happening to a lot of people these days, and obviously in some cases it's completely justified and you have to, you know, go back and look at some of the stuff they've said, and if they've said anything controversial, you know,
let's just say if John ever became a politician,
he's fucked. That is fair. But like, James Gunn said some things like a decade ago that people were unhappy with. Changed as a person since then.
It was a bit weird, wasn't it?
It was. And Marvel fired
him. Like, just persistent, like, child, like, noncy gags. It's like,
it was a
two,
bit weird, but
fine.
Yeah.
But it's like, all the time? Like, they're not even funny. It's like, if someone gets offended by a gag that's, you know, about a, I don't know, a traumatic event or, you know, something like that.
Give us an example, John.
But no, because there are lazy gags, very lazy gags about war and stuff like that, or murder. And then there are some that's like, I'm cracking up, but I know that is so unacceptable. That's fine. Mm. Whereas if it's just weird, like the stuff he was typing was weird, but so what? Like, it shouldn't have got him cancelled, obviously. But that's the world we live in.
No. And DC saw the opportunity. And snapped him up because they realised that their cinematic universe was struggling greatly. Suicide Squad, which had so much promise, great cast, ended up falling very flat because it just fell into this terrible superhero tropey storyline with terrible CGI and one-liners, and it just didn't work. It just didn't work.
Didn't have a story.
Yeah, it was terrible. So James Gunn has been brought in to make Suicide Squad. He actually said that being hired on this film saved his life because he was extremely depressed after getting fired from Marvel and Guardians 3. He literally said that this film essentially saved his life. That's what he said in a recent interview. Which is fascinating to me.
Wait till the reviews.
I think this is a safe bet to be a good film. I think the what we've seen in the trailers.
Stick that on a poster. Oh, I'll buy all the tickets.
Have you heard what that critic said? Safe bet to be
Alex
a good
Leonard.
Film.
Bank
Three bloobs.
Himself. Yeah.
Are you guys hyped for this? This has to be, I think, the superhero film of the year that I'm excited to see. Like, that I'm actually excited to see.
That's a weird one, because I couldn't give a fuck that it's coming out, to be honest.
That's so interesting. That is interesting. I think you'll love this. I think you will love this film. Like,
yeah, because it's a little shark film.
Yeah, you love the shark. No, and like, it's voiced by fucking Rocky. Sylvester Stallone is voicing the shark.
Yeah.
What can go wrong?
It's just, I think I'm a bit over superhero movies at the moment.
Right, but this is, so this is the thing. This is
different.
I would say I am definitely, I think I said this in our last episode, I'm totally superheroed out. I'm Marveled out for sure. But I think this is coming at it from a different angle. This is a different type of movie, and
it's a Guardians-esque movie. Yeah,
it's a Guardians-esque movie. It's not.
That's
it's not
the problem,
it's
isn't
not
it?
But Guardians is only. I mean, where else have we seen the Guardians? I think the Guardians is a thing of its own. Avengers like mm-hmm. touched upon that sort of spirit occasionally, but it's definitely. I'm not guardianed out. So I'm up for some more James Gunn-esque movies, and I am looking forward to this. But I'm not looking forward to it because it's a superhero film. It's yeah. the opposite.
You're looking forward to it because it's James Gunn, and you know that he's going to handle it in a very funny sort of way, like a different way. His take on the Suicide Squad, if you look at it from just the images, the characters that he's brought into it compared to the one that was released 3 or 4 years ago, or whatever, it looks like he's drawing upon how silly it is. Like he's looking at it like, look, yeah. Suicide Squad is meant to be silly. Like it's got some crazy, ridiculous, stupid C, D list movie villains in it. Like 100%. It's crazy. However, you've still got Harley Quinn played by Margot Robbie. And I still think she is probably the best cast current DC character because she is great. Even in the Harley Quinn standalone film, she's amazing. I really rate her, and I rate that interpretation of the character highly, which is why she got a standalone movie. Like
that's what you rate, is it? Yeah.
definitely that. So yeah, we're going to be reviewing Suicide Squad. It's coming out, I think, August 6th. And we will have our review out very shortly after that. Before we leave this podcast, I would like to insert the segment that we always have every time we do this show, which It's called Underrated, Overrated. Hey, have you seen Ghostbusters 2? Do you think it's underrated? Hey, have you seen Ghostbusters 2? Do you think it's overrated? That's the segment here for you now. It's underrated, overrated, yeah. Hello, yes. Welcome to Underrated, Overrated. This week, I've come in with some things that have been really grinding my gears over the years. That rhymes. That's quite good. And I have to say that, Gareth, what did you talk about last time? Underrated. No, overrated was The Hangover, and underrated was Tom Cruise. And they're kind of right. They're kind of right. Like, although I do think Tom Cruise is a mega A-list, but yeah, maybe he's acting
chops.
Of course
he is. But you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to start with overrated, and this is going to annoy people because I get it. People love this film for some reason, right? They love it. No, I think we're all going to be in agreement here. The amount of
before
love,
you name it,
go on.
What score on, would you give this film?
Oh, mate, like, it's a difficult one. What score would I give it? Okay, I'm going to say like this. People think that this is a revolutionary film in the superhero genre, and they think that it's like the best thing ever because of a certain reason.
I wouldn't say Ghostbusters are superheroes.
I would say it's extremely average. I'd say it's extremely average. It's a 3, but there's elements in there where some of the CG is terrible. Some of the storyline is terrible. It's Wonder Woman. It's terrible. It's not a good film. It is not a good film. And everyone talks about this film like it's great, like it's one of the best DC films ever. And have you seen Wonder Woman, bloody 1984? It's also not very good.
No,
it's not good.
I haven't seen it.
But Wonder Woman, can we all agree it's overrated? And I know people are saying, yeah, but Diana's such a great character. And she is. Gal Gadot, love her as Diana, that's fine. Doesn't stop the film being terrible or not very good or just meh, which it is, meh.
It is meh. Yeah, meh.
It's meh.
Yeah.
And all the critics are like, this is a great leap forward in cinema. Why?
Well,
why is it a great leap forward?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Level of understanding here, right? One, look at some of the films it was following. Fucking hell. Like, they just wanted, they just wanted DC to put out something that was like, right, this is a beginning, middle, and end. Two, it was like the first like female lead, and she is a convincing female lead.
She is
I look at her and I'm like, what a specimen of a woman. Like, no, and I mean that in like the non, the most non,
the most respectable way possible.
No, honestly, like you'd look at her and just think she literally, she's like an Amazonian. Her character, her performance is much bigger and better than the films that she's
agreed.
Been in.
And that's what I said. I think the film is meh, but as I said, I think her, she's a Gal Gadot as Diana, I love. And actually, I think she's one of the strongest narrative through lines and characters throughout the DC universe. I'd say her, Harley Quinn. There's no correlation between why I think these two characters are the best. I even Ben Affleck's Batman to an extent. Like, but I just mean, I think they're two of the stronger characters. But the film itself just falls flat for me, and everyone seemed to love it. And
the film is one of those films that has contributed to being
something.
No, to being superheroed out. You know what I mean? Like just the same film over and over again, just with different names. That's the problem with that movie. Absolutely nothing wrong with the character and the actor.
No.
It's I think people don't need to hold that film up in a special light because of the character and the actor. I think it needs
it's not because it's a DC film either. Like, I look at Captain Marvel, and me and John reviewed Captain Marvel, and we weren't thrilled by that film either. And I would actually go as far to say that Diana is a far stronger character than Carol Danvers.
It's not even a contest. The problem with Captain Marvel is she's a poor lead as well. And I know some people, you can't say that about her. I can and I have.
And I don't think it's the actress's fault in that film. We've talked about this. We said it was the dialogue. We said it was the way it was written. We said that her character didn't have enough levity or personality. And at times, she seems quite vacant. And you definitely get that in Infinity. you definitely get that in Endgame as well, when her character just turns up. It's like, right, I'll save the world. It's like, well, what's this? But yeah, that's my overrated. I think Wonder Woman... fantastic lead, fantastic character, one of the strongest parts of Justice League for sure, and the Justice League. But overall, the film, meh. And I think we've settled it here on this podcast. It's meh. Underrated, I want to talk about one of my favourite science fiction films of all time, and a recommendation to anyone who hasn't seen this film. It is Danny Boyle's Sunshine. Danny Boyle's Sunshine. It is his second film,
mate.
After 28 Days Later. And basically, the thing about this film, or third film, and the thing about this film is it's essentially...
You sure about that?
Fourth.
Maybe it's fourth.
Or
film.
Fifth.
Maybe fifth. Who knows? But basically, the storyline is thus.
17th feature film.
the storyline is this. Basically, the sun is dying, and in a bid to save... the sun, the Earth has gathered its greatest scientists' resources to create something like a bomb that has to be transported to the sun to reignite it and restore life to Earth.
You've very much made it seem like the sun and the Earth are actual characters in this film. Like the Earth's called up. Hello,
please, sun, please stop.
This is
Earth. The Earth, yep.
And... the thing that happens with this film is it's obviously a huge journey that takes place, and it's a very confined space. It's a very confined space with a few characters. You find out like along the way that this is the second mission. The first mission failed. That's not a spoiler. You find that out pretty early on. And what happens with this film is not only do you get some amazing visuals, like in terms of science fiction, just the idea of light and how it's perceived in the scenes and the sun, it's just stunning. Cillian Murphy is fantastic. It turns into like a descent into madness. And basically, it's just one of the greatest science fiction films that I've seen. I watch it regularly. I think it's stunning. John, I can't believe you haven't seen it, to be honest with you. I know I showed it to Gaz. I know Gaz definitely seen it.
I forget the reason why I haven't. I think 2007 was a bit of a weird year for me. Like, there's loads of films I've not seen from that era. Just finishing university, trying to get a place to live and a job and stuff.
It's fair.
It was actually his seventh feature film.
Four, fifth, sixth, seventh. Who cares?
You said third. Yeah. Was it his third or his second? Was it his first or his only film? It was Danny Boyle's only film.
It's only one.
Do you want to try and guess the films before Sunshine?
Train Spotting. 28 Days Later. 28 Days Later.
Yep.
Slumdog was afterwards. Slumdog was
afterwards.
I can't believe
you're not. His very first film has been mentioned on here before, actually.
In this episode, or
no?
Just fan critical.
Can hell, that'd be. Yeah. No, so Shallow Grave. Shallow Grave is his debut film, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you take ages otherwise. A Life Less Ordinary, The Beach, and Millions.
Oh, The Beach, of course.
Were all before Sunshine.
But anyway, Danny Boyle, fantastic filmmaker, because the range of films that that guy has made, like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, just there's some of them.
Yeah. Mm. If you go from The Beach to Sunshine, you'll be like, what's going on? Then 28 Days Later, then Slumdog Millionaire.
Well,
you think this guy's insane. So,
well, I would say that Sunshine is an excellent movie, and you're right, it's underappreciated, isn't it?
But
I can see there are definitely through lines at points between Sunshine and 28 Days Later, if you know what I mean.
Oh, there's moments. There's moments.
It's a little bit of a genre-spanning movie, which is maybe one of the reasons why it hasn't quite found its kind of a wider audience.
Very true.
Because it sort of sits in between. But it is a very good film. It's a beautiful film, and it's a bit of a haunting movie as well. I'd say it's like, I bet though that he took some inspiration from a film that we've mentioned on this podcast before as well, but very much a less polished, less artistic movie, but it's got sort of Event Horizon vibes as well.
It's definitely along that vein. If you're thinking, what is this film like they're talking about, it's along the lines of Event Horizon, but a much more polished, much more articulated, much more streamlined version of that crazy film, like 100%. That's my underrated overrated, guys. So I'm glad we all agree. And John, when you watch Sunshine and you text me and go, that's the best film I've ever seen, then you'll say, yeah, definitely.
Okay, this is definitely the best animated video game thing I've ever seen.
Apart from Castlevania.
And that's it for today, guys. That was 60 minutes to midnight. It is now 10 minutes past midnight because we've run long again. We always do. That's okay. Sometimes, you know, when you're up this late, you may as well stay up an extra 10 minutes. That's fine.
10 minutes. 10 extra minutes for free. And we gave you the first 60 minutes for free. So
we gave it all for free, really.
Well, we've charged you for the last 10 minutes. £100.
Yeah. So if you do feel guilty that we've given you 10 extra minutes, then please do go to www.patreon.com/fancritical. And donate to the monthly cause that is Fan Critical, because then you'll get more lovely shows like this where you can cure John's COVID if he goes into the ICU. And there's other things that we can do with that money. So please do go to patreon.com/fancritical. We appreciate all of our Patreons greatly. You guys enable us to make the content that we want to make, review the films that we want to review, and review the shows that we want to review. So thank you. Thank you to our listeners for listening. The whiskey is taking hold of me now, so I must go to bed.
before you do, could we also ask, if you haven't, can you leave us a review? We'd love reviews.
One of those. That's a bit of admin, but yeah, go on.
Four stars.
He's a teacher.
Five stars.
Work.
I'll tell you what, we'll even take some 3 stars. And we'll be honest, but just leave us a review. Unfortunately, iTunes doesn't allow for a blueberry system, but
no,
we have stars. Converted Pathetic. It and translated it. It's very similar. I think 5 stars works out at 5 blueberries, so you should be fine. But thank you in advance.
Thanks, guys. Yes, please do leave us a review. Patreon.com/fancritical. Interact with us on social. You know what to do. Thank you to Gareth. Go get some sleep. John, go get some rest, mate. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to have to be on this podcast in a week's time saying we lost him.
If you could see, if listeners could see what we were looking at as well, it would encourage everybody to get vaccinated.
Yeah, so get your jabs. Like don't be like John.
No, yes. I've got you, one John. Vaccination. Fucking hell.
Yeah. He's say that
doing
now.
It. Whatever, mate. Yeah.
But look, if you don't want to get vaxxed, it's entirely up to you. But I would encourage you to
it
get
is your
vaccination.
Choice, of course. And John is saying choice. It. In, yeah. Thanks, John. Thanks, mate. Thanks for doing this. And thanks, listeners. We'll play you out with some smooth jazz, baby. Good night.
Smooth jazz, baby. That'd be mad, wouldn't it? Just that on repeat. I'm not paying for this.